salvation, for deliverance, with a song of freedom. Praise Him for the victory. I'm alive now in the name of Jesus. Praise the great and holy One for all He is and all He's done. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the sun goes down, I will lift my voice, I will stand my ground. I will bless the Lord. When the sun comes up, when the sun goes down, I will lift my voice, I will stand my ground. When the sun goes down, I will lift my voice, I will stand my ground. I will bless the Lord. When the sun comes up, when the sun goes down, I will lift my voice, I will stand my ground. Sun goes down, I will lift my voice, I will stand my ground. I will bless the Lord. When the sun comes up, when the sun goes down, I will lift my voice, I will stand my ground.
Yeah, you can do that. We're applauding the Lord our God. I said it earlier today, I'll say it again. It's so good to have the musicians up here, isn't it? And to have the choir back. Thank you so much. Oh, it just helps so much. And all these musicians over here who are so, so talented and really the best music students I've had right here. They just, everything I've taught you, Amy, and okay. So moving right along, welcome to Blacksburg Baptist Church. This is the building, 550 North Main, where the church worships. You're the church, we are the church, and we welcome you to the family of God this morning. We hope that you feel already a part of the family, warmly welcome, not like a visitor at all. If you're here for the first time, we would love for you to let us know that you are here, and you can text welcome to that number or write us, be in touch with us at those addresses electronically, and we will be in touch with you. And we will celebrate what God's doing in your life. We'll take very seriously any prayer needs that you have and any other needs that God would enable us to meet for you. We want you to be a part of us and grow alongside us. And maybe you'll feel so connected this morning to God and to God's family that you'll bring somebody again with you next week. We welcome all those who are live streaming this morning from where you are at home and other places, and we're glad that God has connected us through technology, but particularly through His Spirit. They've had some trouble up there, right, with technology this morning, but, you know, things are working now, right? Mostly, yeah, okay, you have enough things working that we're live and we're going, and we thank We thank God for that team up there, too. Hey, you notice this big banner? You can't miss it, really. This is an annual missional effort of this church to feed the hungry in our area. And I hope that you once again this year will be part of it. Here are the food delivery dates. Yesterday was a food delivery date, and indeed some people brought some food. Wednesday, October 6th, 13th, and 20th from 4 to 6. Every Wednesday, 4 to 6. Saturday, October 30th, 10 to 12. And every Sunday, 9:30 to 12 noon, you may bring the food. Let's fill up the sanctuary again like we have year after year. And then let's fill those hungry bellies out there and let them know that that food that is good for their bodies came from the Spirit of God that is good for their souls. So this is just one more way that you can be on mission here at Blacksburg Baptist Church. So many ways for us to show the love of God to people right in our back door and side door and front door. And we're so glad you're here and going to experience God's love this morning. Let's have a prayer of thanksgiving. God, thank you for this day that you've made. Help us to rejoice and be glad in it. I pray that you draw us closer and closer and closer to the altar you have set for us today, where we might experience you in your fullness, in your glory, your majesty, your grace and mercy, your goodness. And God, help us to join you in being good for people in this area, people who are hungry. Help us to do as you have called us to do, as you've taught us to do, to love you by loving people. And God, we give you this hour of worship. We pray that we would be increasingly less aware of ourselves and more aware of you. Thank you for always being aware of us, our needs, for knowing us inside and out and loving us anyway. Now, God, we give you sacrifice of our praise. We pray that it'll please you. In Jesus' name, and amen. Hey, boys and girls, it's time for you to come on down. I need some help up here. I need some help up here. Amy's playing some traveling music. There we go. I'm going to back up a little bit. Back up a little bit. Good morning. How are you? You good? It's getting kind of chilly outside in the mornings. Have you noticed? What's going on with that? It is getting closer to winter, my man. Isaiah reminds me of winter. It's still just fall, though, right? And it gets warm during the day. Pray for me. Winter's not my favorite. Do you like winter, Isaiah? Who likes winter? Raise your hand. Snow. Snow days. Christmas. Thanksgiving. Raise your hand if you like summer. Oh, good. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. God made it all, and it's all good. I know we often talk about food on Sunday mornings. I brought something to share with everybody. It looks pretty tasty to me. What do you think?
Yeah, break that into crystals.
Break that into crystals. What have I got here?
A rock.
A rock. Don't you just love a rock for breakfast? Brunch, I guess it would be brunch at this point. Yes, you do. Who would eat a rock? Nobody would eat a rock.
Depends how much money you
pay. Depends. What's that? God did make water come out of a rock. He did. So, you know, God can do anything. Nothing's impossible for God, right? And that reminds me, Isaiah, of this story. And that's why I brought the rock. There's this story about Jesus. And it was just after Jesus was baptized. And, oh, what a beautiful day that was. He was baptized in the Jordan River by his cousin. John the Baptist is the one that we know. Have you heard that story of Jesus' baptism? Have you ever seen a baptism up here in our waters done? Anybody ever seen a baptism done? Yeah, you've seen it. It's a beautiful, beautiful symbol of our faith, our love for God who loved us first and were baptized like Jesus. Well, Jesus was baptized, and then he went into the desert. And Jesus had a rough, long, lonely 40 days in the desert. And the Bible tells us that the evil one, the enemy, we call him the devil and Satan. Have you heard of that? Yeah. So he's the one who doesn't want us to know God and follow God. But he can't get in the way. I'm going to tell you how. devil came to Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, are you feeling hungry?" Well, Jesus was hungry because he wasn't eating. And he was just, you know, spending time with God the Father, and he was praying and preparing for his ministry. "Are you feeling hungry?" the enemy said. "Well, take this rock, Jesus, and since you're who you say you are, God's son, God in flesh and bone, you could turn this rock into bread, and then you've got tasty hot bread. And maybe take a pebble and make some butter." That's not in the Bible, but I love butter, so I wish it were in the Bible. Anybody love butter with me? Yeah. A good rock needs butter. I mean, good bread needs butter. Anyhow, turn this rock into some bread. You know what Jesus said? Jesus did say no. He said, no. I'm going to spend time drinking in and eating the word of my Father. That's what I need more than bread. I'm good. I'm not that hungry. Then the devil said, "Well, Jesus, are you feeling powerful? If you're feeling powerful, get up on top of the temple and jump off, and God's angels will catch you and save your life. And oh, how powerful you will be." And Jesus said, "Yeah, I'm powerful, but I'm not feeling that. I'm not going to jump off and test my God. That would be silly. Boys and girls, don't jump from anything high. Promise me. Don't do it." And then the devil said, hey Jesus, are you feeling you feeling a little left out? Are you feeling like you want something? Are you feeling a little bit greedy? I want you to look out there. All of that. I will give you all of that. Everything your eye sees, as far as you can see, I'll make it yours." You know what Jesus already knew? Jesus already knew it was his, right? Jesus owned all of that. Anyway, he said, "Devil, get away from me." And he got with God the Father, and he prayed, and angels came and picked him up and made him healthy and strong and fresh, and he was ready for his ministry. Boys and girls. Do sometimes our feelings get in the way of what God wants us to do? And feelings, right? You know about feelings? Yeah. Give me a sad face. It's hard to see through the mask, right? Give me a mad face. I'm mad. I'm angry. You guys are too... Oh, that's a good one. That scares me a little bit. I'm going to scoot right over here. Give me a frightened face, scared face. I'm afraid now. We can be sad. We can be mad. We can be afraid. We can feel lonely. We can be hungry. How do you look when you're hungry? How do you... Like that. You look pretty hungry, Logan. Here's the thing, boys and girls. Trust God. Are you hearing me? Trust God. God's the one who can take care of every need you have. God's the one who understands every feeling you have, because God has had them first before you did. Jesus understands. So next time you're feeling a little lonely, talk to God. Say, "God, help me." When you're feeling afraid, "God, I trust you. I trust you. Keep me safe. I'm in your hands." When you're feeling hungry, or you want something, or you think you need something, will you pray about it and God will help you? Do you trust him that much? You can talk to moms and dads about it, other adults about it. You see that banner? You see that bucket there? We're going to collect food for people who are hungry. One way that God answers prayers and meets needs of people is through you and me. We love each other. We help each other with our feelings. We even help when people are hungry. God has a plan, and it's better than your plan and mine. Can you trust him with your feelings? Don't let your feelings be in charge of you. Hear me? Be in charge of your feelings by trusting God. And don't ever, listen, don't ever, ever eat a rock. It'll hurt. Let's pray together.
You can lose your tooth.
You could lose a tooth. God, thank you for these boys and girls. We pray that we would listen and pay attention like they do. We pray that we would trust you like they're learning to trust you. We pray that we would know that you have our every need in mind, and you know how to meet every need. Help us to give you our feelings and not let them rule us. God, we thank you for Jesus, who was before us and understands all of our feelings and needs and wants. Thank you that he has met them all. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Boys and girls, you have fun upstairs. You're going to learn more about that. Bye. We're going to worship.
Good morning. I'm going to ask you if you'll stand up, lift your voices with ours.
else to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You were my desire. Nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find the way, bring me back to you.
That last song is a prayer all its own, isn't it? Would that be true? That really he's all we want? Now we know he's all we need. He's met every need. Needs that nobody else could meet, but how often are we wanting something else, someone else? Let's pray together. Take a deep breath. Breathe that in. Breathe in the presence of Holy God. There is none other. Gracious, gracious God, more than we deserve. Merciful God, withholds what we do deserve. Oh, so compassionate and kind, understanding, always good, more than good. Almighty, gracious God, thank you. We thank you for your presence. We feel your presence. God, help us to sense and feel more and more of you. Help us to be less and less aware of ourselves increasingly as the minutes pass in this very room. Help us to be overcome by you, please. All who seek, may they find. Teach us this morning who you are, who you've called and made us to be in Christ. Lead us into a deep sense of rest, rest for our very souls. Help us to unplug from the world just long enough to plug back into our power source, you, Lord Jesus. And when we leave this place, oh God, may we be refreshed, renewed. May people at home, oh God, be aware equally of your presence and power there. And we so thank you for connecting us through technologies, but especially by your Spirit. God, let it be evident to the world around us when we leave this place that we have been here with you and filled with you. Jesus, help us pray. Join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I stand here, a sinner saved by grace, and grateful for the message that God has given me to give to you. It's for me, and I hope it's also for you. Are you tired? That was a tired response you asked. Are you tired? That sounds like just a word from Todd, a question from Todd, but it's actually a word from God. Listen to this from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. According to Eugene Peterson's thoroughly contemporary version of the Bible, the message. Listen, are you tired, Jesus says? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Then come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Does that sound good so far? I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, according to the message. Maybe you've heard it a little more like this. This is from the New Living Translation. Then Jesus said, come to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Does that sound more familiar? Take my yoke upon you, Jesus says. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. That's an invitation from Jesus. That's also promise, several promises from Jesus, and I have learned in my years that God, unlike Todd, keeps his promises every single time. Jesus asks, are you tired? There's a cold case in America. It's an unsolved mystery for now almost 100 years. On August 6, 1930, New York Supreme Court Justice Joseph Crater disappeared. He disappeared without a trace. There are people still working on that case, fewer than ever, less than ever. But how sad for the family to have that mystery unsolved, his disappearance. He was seen getting into a cab in Manhattan, and he left a note. It said, I am very weary, seeking rest. Love, Joe. I'm very weary, seeking rest. Love, Joe. Doesn't that break your heart? That breaks my heart. It makes me think of other people who are so weary, so worn out, so in need of rest, that they disappear. Have you ever felt like you were slowly disappearing or maybe a little invisible? Maybe not. Maybe that sounds like a dramatic condition to you. But there has been, I think we would agree, the last year and a half, what some call the disappearance of everything normal. Does that sound familiar? The disappearance of everything, or at least almost everything normal. There's this global cry, something of a collective human mantra. I want my life back, I've heard it said. You have heard it said, maybe you've said it. I want my life back. I want things to be normal again. We talk so much about the new normal, and we keep waiting to see what that is, and it reinvents itself, it seems, every day. Good grief, there have been difficult days, weeks, and months, 19 months to be exact, since we began back in March trying to find normal. John Eldridge, one of my favorite authors, has written a book called Get Your Life Back, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But he calls these days soul-scorching times. That's a good description. Do you feel like your soul's been a little scorched? A little beaten up? A little worn out? I agree. Soul-scorching times. There's been a torrent of information, negative information, bad news bombarding us, so much negative information. It's frightening. It's troubling at the very least. So much uncertainty and weariness and unrest. But let's not blame everything on pandemic and politics and people. There are things in your life and things in my life that well before pandemic caused weariness, a sense of being worn out, a sense of unrest. You with me? You got your stuff, I got my stuff, and it is my privilege as a pastor, a friend, a spiritual guide, a counselor, whatever it is that God calls me to be on any given day. I've heard your stories. You've shared and trusted your stories with me, and I thank you for that. So I know some of you quite well. I know some of the struggles, not all the struggles. I don't need to know all the struggles or even half of them. People in the room, I don't know. Here's the good news. God knows. Say it with me. God knows. God knows. God knows the weariness, the unrest, the trouble, the need. God knows exactly who you are, where you are, and how you are right now. He's the God who sees. Oh, that's such good news. I need that. Do you? So many reasons why we need rest, I believe. And we're crying out. When you're rattled and stressed and burned out and weary and worn out, where do you go for relief and comfort? What's your go-to? What's your default? Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a place. Maybe it's a routine. I mentioned this morning, and now she's in the room, how when our boys were little, just 2 years apart, sometimes the only sanctuary my wife had was the bathroom. And to this day, I can hear her just worshiping in there, worship music. And no, that's not true. That's not true. She's going to get me. But she would shut the door a moment with boys knocking and slipping notes under the door, and mothers in the room understand. There might be a place where you go to get away, where you go to get rest. There might be a person you go to. There might be a routine. There might be a habit. Folks, we can have good habits and bad habits. I've had good habits and I've had bad habits that I think soothe me or comfort me or get me away, right? Are you with me? Where do you go when you're stressed, when you're weary, when you need to be renewed or refreshed? Folks, there's one place. There's one place, and there's one person to whom you and I can go and find rest, absolute rest. See, while we're crying out, God is crying out. Where we're calling out, I'm busy. Charlotte talked about busy. I need rest. God's calling out, come to me. I will give you rest. Now, let's do a quick word study. The word Jesus uses here, if we look at the original text, the word doesn't mean sleep. Come to me and I'll give you sleep. Raise your hand if you'd like to have more sleep. Two hands and a foot. Yeah, more sleep would be great. It doesn't mean this word. It doesn't mean more leisure, more free time, more me time. Would that be also awesome? Raise your hand. More leisure time. More fun. It doesn't necessarily mean more fun. Would you like to have more fun? Sleep, leisure, and fun. That sounds like a really good day, right? But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Something far greater. It's deeper. It's life-giving and life-sustaining. The rest that he's talking about, the word he uses, here's the connotation, here's the best translation. It's a cessation. It's a stopping. It's a pausing. It's a refreshing that comes in that cessation. It's a renewal from the inside out. Doesn't that sound even better? Who in the room would like to be renewed, refreshed, restored, restart? Oh, my. St. Augustine, the great 4th century theologian, said this, our souls are restless until we find rest in thee. Who's thee? God. Our souls are going to be perpetually restless until we find our rest in God. Come to me, Jesus says. Come to me. God himself speaking. Matthew chapter 11 is a critical juncture in the life and ministry of Jesus. Strong, strong Jewish resistance, religious resistance to Jesus' claims, particularly his claims that he was the Messiah. My goodness, such love, nobody had ever seen. Such miracles, nobody had ever witnessed before. Such authoritative teaching, no one had ever heard. The religionists, the elite church folks of the day were not only challenged, they were threatened. The very most academic, reverent, righteous religionists of the day, they were growing weary, tired of Jesus. They wanted him gone. Trouble was mounting, and Jesus knew it. He knew where he was headed. He knew he was on the way to the cross to take down the law of sin and death, which the law of God did not cover as man had tainted it. Jesus was about to free everybody who sought freedom in a most sacrificial, painful, drastic way. And he begins his discourse here, "Thank you." Knowing what was coming, knowing the mounting resistance, the angry mobs, what their plots are, "Thank you, O Father, thank you for hiding all these things from those who think themselves so wise and clever, and for clearly revealing such things to the childlike." Listen very carefully to the words of Jesus. He begins by saying thank you. Gratitude, folks, is a key component of your rest and mind. Gratitude. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus says. Hiding these things. What things? All the things, all the truths that Jesus was demonstrating in his miraculous healings and his authoritative teachings and his sacrificial, lavish love for one person after the other who had not been loved before. Rest, soul-quenching refreshment, renewal, cessation of all that was wearing them out, was found in God, and his name was and is Jesus. And it was the childlike folks who were getting it. It was the childlike, trusting, humble, broken, needy, vulnerable folks who were getting his message. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Psalm 46:10, you might know it. Be still and know that I am God. Read it with me. Be still and know that I am God. Does anybody have trouble being still? Me too. Me too. Oh, man. I brought home straight A's with a little note. Todd can't be still. Todd can't be quiet. Todd finishes his work and then talks, and people can't finish their work. We love Todd. But please talk to him about being still and being quiet. The older I get, my wife will tell you, the more I know how to be quiet. Now what was that? Come on. Hurting my feelings, it's true. Oh, you don't need to feel so. Be still and then you'll know that I am God. See, this new word, this radical message, this new covenant agreement was wrapped up not in religion. It was not wrapped up in doctrine or theory or practice. It was all wrapped up in a person. His name was Jesus. Come to me. Come to me. Don't come to this religion or that religion. Don't come to this doctrine or that teaching. Don't even come to this church or that church. Now that sounds crazy for a pastor to say. This message is not about membership at Blacksburg Baptist Church. Now, we'd be glad to welcome you as a member if you want a church family. Glad. But this message is not about that. It's about finding your home in Jesus, your rest in Jesus, your place and identity, your salvation in Jesus. Jesus, the living word, the great I am. Come to me and you'll know. Be still. And you'll know that I am He, I am God, come to me. John Eldridge wrote this wonderful book, Get Your Life Back. We're using it on Sunday nights in one of our small groups, and I thought it was worth sharing with larger group because it's just so rich and it's so timely for just such a time as this. Get your life back. Everyday practices in a world gone mad. If I say to you, breathe in, hold it, breathe out, breathe in, hold it, breathe out, where do you feel like you are? MRI, CAT scan, ultrasound, honestly, right? Oh, don't you hate that? Breathe in. I have tiny lungs, apparently, because I can't breathe very long. I mean, no. That would really be a problem, wouldn't it? I can't hold my breath very long. Breathe in, hold it, breathe out. Isn't it great if you've been there in that clinical test? Isn't it great when they tell you you can breathe again? Whew, and you breathe. I'm constantly letting my breath out too soon, and then I say, I'm sorry, I couldn't hold my breath any longer. Did I ruin the pictures? No, just breathe and be still and quiet. I'm the guy who talks during the MRI. Y'all okay out there? Anything I can do? Oh, pray for me. Breathe. Hold it. Breathe out. It's always so good to. We need to breathe again, folks. I don't think we've been breathing for a good while. I mean really breathing, breathing in, breathing out deeply in a way that refreshes us and breathes new life into us. Eldridge talks about the one-minute pause, the one-minute pause. It's 60 seconds of nothingness. Now, we men are good at that, right, ladies? We can do nothing for a minute really well or think about nothing for a minute really well. 60 seconds of nothingness. Okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to call time, and for 60 seconds, shut your eyes so you're not looking at anybody, nobody's looking at you. I'm just going to look at my watch, and you're just going to release thoughts, breathe, and be for 60 seconds. Go. Time. To those of you who are just tuning in, there was no technical difficulty there. Somebody tuned in, and I know the media team is going, Todd, why did you do that? We just took a 60-second pause to detach. How did that feel? Awkward? Did it feel longer than 60 seconds? Yeah, a lot of people say that felt like forever. That was just 60 seconds. Why does it feel so long? One, because we're in a room, we're feeling awkward because we're so socially aware of ourselves and each other. There's one lesson there. Coming to Jesus means we become forgetful of ourselves and even for a little while, other people. That doesn't sound very Christian, does it? 60 seconds, that's all that was. Practice a 60-second pause. Tell people you're going to do it so they don't worry about you. If you get quiet and unresponsive and very, very still, someone might call 911. Be careful. 60-second pause. 30 years ago, I led a conference on connection. We are technologically more connected than ever in human history, I started out. And yet our souls are careening toward a tragic disconnection like never before. I hate to say it, but that's one time I was right. And that was just about 8 years after internet was even invented in 1983. And folks, there are new levels of disconnect, new levels of chaos, new levels of weariness and being worn out. Folks, my goodness, would you agree with me or not? It's just not for you, I guess, this message, if you're not tired and weary and needing rest. But Jesus understands. Jesus understands the need for a break. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he stopped and prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's been looking for you, Jesus." And Jesus replied, "Then let's go somewhere else." I love that about Jesus. Nobody ever loved people more than Jesus, and he said, "Then let's go somewhere else." Jesus knows about needing a break. Jesus knows about being tired. Jesus practiced what Eldridge calls benevolent detachment. Remember when there were public moments and personal moments and public spaces and personal spaces, and somewhere along the way everything became public and there's nowhere we can go or be that we're not bombarded with everybody else and their questions and their needs and their posts and their... Take a deep breath. Hold it. Breathe that out. Jesus says, know your condition. You're tired, you're weary, you're worn out, you're needy. Know your condition, but look at my condition. Look at what Jesus wants us to know about himself in our original text. I'm humble, I'm gentle at heart, I'm meek, I'm lowly. He wants us to know that above all things about him, that he's humble and gentle. He calls us to be humble and gentle as well. This is what he wants us to know about him and about us. Rabbi Jesus says, let me show you. Unforced, childlike rhythms of grace. Let me teach you. Hold you like a child. Yield to me. Surrender to me. Pause. Stop. Breathe. Detach. Trust in God's goodness, gentleness, humility, the one who surrendered himself for you and me at the cross. There's this wonderful song by Torrin Wells. I recommend it to you. Do what you were famous for. Do you know what that, when you know that song, Jeremy? Do what you were famous for. Oh my gosh. Make way through the waters. Walk me through the fire. Do what you're famous for. Shut the mouths of lions. Bring dry bones to life again. Do what you are famous for. God of exceedingly, abundantly, more than we ask or think. Lord, you never fail. Folks, this is the God who calls you and me this morning to come. To come and find rest for our souls. How hard is it for you to unplug? You can ask me the same thing. Unplugging is holy. This is not an assault on technology. This is an assault on what we've done with it. I'm begging you, God's begging you to pause, to detach, to unplug this week. See what happens. See what God will do. The soul cannot always be on. The soul needs rest like your body needs sleep. We neglect our souls, and if we're honest with ourselves and God and each other, everybody in the room, we've neglected our souls to some degree. My grandmother was in a wheelchair for the last 20 years of her life with MS, and she worshiped, and she read scriptures, and she sang hymns, and she thanked God out loud and nourished her soul. And I often looked at her and thought, oh my God, I wish she weren't in a wheelchair, but look what she's doing with it, and then what am I doing? Does it take a wheelchair for me to be still and nourish my soul? Folks, I love you, and I want for you the same thing I want for me and my family, and that is a fresh start and a new spirit, a new heart. No more divided heart and scattered mind and battle of wills. If you need rest today, this is a message for you, and the word is from Jesus. Come to me. Trust me. Jesus is calling. I want you to watch this short video. See if it doesn't wrap it up for you.
For the next few moments, quiet your mind and listen carefully with your whole heart. Take a deep breath in. Hold it. Now breathe out. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Deep breath in, hold it, now breathe it out. Jesus didn't say you might find rest, or that somehow you'll find rest as you wander aimlessly through this life. He said, "Come to me. And I will give you rest. I will give you rest." It's a promise. He goes on to tell us that he is gentle and that in him our very souls will find rest. Breathe in. Hold. breathe out. You can take Jesus at his word. You can choose to take all your cares and worries, anxiety and pain, habits and hurts, and give them to Jesus. Are you restless? Are you weary and worn out? If given the opportunity, could today be that day of rest? As you breathe in and breathe out, remember that Jesus is patiently waiting for you to come to him, bringing everything that's weighing you down. Jesus is waiting to give you rest.
Heavenly Father, help us this day to choose rest and to choose you in which we find rest, in whom we find everything we need. Oh God, please let this be not just a spiritual exercise, but so practical as we come to the altar. Oh God, help us to come to the altar that you've set for us today and find you there. In Jesus' name, amen.
As you wait for the crown.
treasures you found.
Amen. Thank you. If you've made a decision today to come to Jesus for rest, refreshment, renewal, please tell us about it. We'll celebrate that with you with gladness and open arms, and we'll talk about next steps in your faith. If you're trusting Jesus today for the first time at home or here in the room, please call us, write to us, let us know. We will celebrate that life-changing, life-giving, life-preserving decision you've made to come to Jesus and saving knowledge of His love for you. Please, there's work to be done, and it begins with rest. Now may the Lord bless you and hold you. May He cause you to be a blessing as you hold others in the comfort that He's given to you and as you invite them into the same rest that you have found. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless